Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Season 2 of Fantasy Football Noise. I'm John Nichols, and with me, as ever, are Wayne Mitchell.
Good evening. Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And Steve Baker.
Jonathan, how are you?
Really, really buoyant. Very excited, gents. Here we are, back again.
Super.
We're back.
9 weeks of foreplay on social media for me, and now we approach climax as we record our first episode of the season.
Haven't you been
busy? I genuinely
busy?
Can't believe that they gave us a second season.
We've got a second series. When you say they, it's just basically we.
We could be bothered to do a second series.
Yeah, we awarded ourselves. You have been busy on Twitter, though, Mitchell.
I've been trying to do two things. Number one, drum up some punters to listen to this lousy podcast. And two, to do some research, because for anyone that's new to the podcast, we ought to explain that Jay and Baco are actually not too bad at fantasy football. They weren't brilliant last season.
We're calling it a blip.
I was hopeless last season. Yeah, my overall rank was 2.3 millionth. And I vowed...
You represented your best ever season, yeah?
No, my best ever season was 171,000th, actually.
Okay, I'll have you know.
But then you always tell me that's when there were fewer players in the actual game.
Correct.
But no, I vowed at the end of last season to make a good fist of it. So I've been doing a lot of research, and it's been hugely valuable. And I now feel well ahead of you, Jay, because you've done, I think, fuck all, if I'm correct.
Correct. I've done 4/5 of fuck all, yes. I am deeply underprepared. It's been a very busy summer. But I've got next week, and it'll be fine. I have assembled a team, but I've basically just done it on players that I like that I can fit into the budget. But
well, make sure you hit the deadline though, Jay, for your team, which is on Saturday morning, of course.
Of course, absolutely. Saturday morning, mate. Last minute changes as ever.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah, you want me to gloss over the Friday night bit, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't mention the Friday night.
Did you think you got me?
I was hoping you were deeply, deeply underprepared, but maybe not that underprepared.
No.
John?
Yes?
What can we expect from the show?
What a great shout, Baker. Well, we've had some pre-season preliminary, what should we call them, a pre-production meeting?
Let's do it.
We've had some chats, and we have agreed on a few amendments to our lineup from last year. First of all, it should be noted that we are not experts. We are not pundits. We are bang average FPL players. We just like it and have a chat about it and a laugh. So this year, we're going to head-to-head ourselves again, but there are a few people who suggested that we pitched ourselves against the average score of each week. So we're going to do that. So this week we'll have a quick mention of how we're faring against each other each week alongside the average. We'll also obviously be having our mini league updates. And Baco, you're going to own that, I think. How many people currently signed up to the FFM mini league?
Well, not only that, Jay, but we've got some exciting news about the mini league.
We have.
So we've
dropping that right now.
Yeah.
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
So we've got almost 200 already. Some cracking names. I'll come on to that in a second. But the exciting news this year is that we have a substantial cash prize. So
potential.
If anyone wants to...
A potential.
Well, I'll explain the rules. So you can join if you get our mini league link at in Twitter at fantasy_noise. Join up, and then you have a chance to win £500 for the winner.
For a monkey?
Yes, a monkey.
It is a chance, though, Baco. You ought to explain that chance. Yeah.
So it's basically a challenge has been set, has it not?
Friend of the show, Stairsy, has challenged Mitchell in the first four game weeks to be 25 points ahead of him. Now, based on last year's form, I'd say that was ambitious. That Mitch, you're going to do that?
Where did Stairsy finish last year? Was he joint top or was he second in our mini league?
He was close, yeah.
Joint second with Stuart, I think. Stuart Herrington.
That's right. Yeah, joint second.
But if that milestone is hit, if Mitch is 25 points ahead of Stairsy after week four.
After game week four.
Then we're going to have a £500 pot.
He's putting 500 quid in the prize fund. I like that.
And just to correct you briefly, Baco, I actually challenged Stairsy because he put his team up on Twitter last night and I looked at it and I thought, compared to mine, that's shit. I'm going to fucking have you, I thought to myself. And so we had a little bit of late night Twitter bants, and that's where his commitment to £500 came from.
Wonderful.
Wow, so you basically goaded him into this. He hasn't just dreamt this up himself.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Wonderful. I can't help thinking, though, Mitch, as I heard you saying that sentence, as I heard your egotistical bravado, a little video popped into my memory. Can you remember? I think I actually shared it recently with the five-year anniversary, where you had seen someone eating Ferrero Rocher, how many they could eat in a minute.
Yes, it was a world record attempt, yeah.
You were absolutely confident. I think the world record, was it nine? I think the world record was nine from memory. Yeah. And you're
in
like,
1 minute,
I'll piss that. I'll absolutely piss that.
Yeah.
And maybe we can share that to for our Twitter followers. But you suffice to say you did not piss it.
It's very, very much more difficult than I had anticipated.
Yeah. So
if
I
anyone
think
wants to try it, Ferrero Rocher are extremely claggy. It's a very difficult challenge.
It's a funny video, actually. I think Stairsy can probably sleep well at night knowing that your bravado is not always backed up with fact or performance.
Hey, listen, it was big talk. It was big talk. And let's see where that big talk gets us, shall we?
Yeah, I love it.
Hey, listen, even if you aren't 25 points clear, we'll have prizes.
Yeah.
We'll have monthly winners. I'll take everyone through the mini league standings every week, and you get lots of shout outs.
Just quickly clarify the prize fund. So the guaranteed prize fund, we're going to do monthly mugs, right? Yep. And we've also said there's going to be, if Stairsy's thing doesn't come off, so if Mitch doesn't manage to hit that target, there's going to be,
yeah, there'll be a couple of hundred 150 quid. Yep.
150 quid for the winner this year and 50 quid for second place.
Yeah, irrespective.
So that's guaranteed. Yep. Yeah, and if Mitch can do it, and we're all obviously rooting for him, then the 500 quid is going to be for the winner. We're saying all on the winner, and then we'll bump our 150 and 200 down to second and third. Yeah,
yeah, perfect.
Of course, massive. We ought to mention that if there are any representatives of the marketing departments of blue chip organisations out there that would like to sponsor our show, then maybe we could have a £5,000 prize
for the winner.
I suggest that's maybe a long shot.
Potentially at this stage. Sorry, Baker, you were saying you've got some big names for us, some funny names.
Here's some names, right? There are some crackers. I've picked out a selection. Delphin Safety.
Delphin Safety, like that. Good.
Like that.
That's a Louis André Starez.
Excellent.
Stairsy's son, basically.
Stairsy's son.
Cruel and the Gang.
Cruel and the Gang, okay.
Yes.
Sarge has come up with an absolutely genius name.
Is this your favourite? Our mutual friend of the show, Luke Sargent.
Touch My Tip.
He always manages to come up with something related to
a sexual orientation,
people's private parts, doesn't he? Yeah.
And then a final one from Edward Batty, maximum 20 character without the R.
Okay.
No, I don't get it.
So you're only allowed 20 characters?
Oh, yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. Got you.
So quite funny.
Yeah. Not as funny as the others.
Not as funny as touch my tip.
That's absolutely brilliant. That's going to take some beating. For anyone who didn't listen to one of the last episodes of last season, my favourite team name from last season was Victor Moses Lawn.
There you go. I like that one a lot.
Really, really enjoyed that one last season. Hopefully some more funny ones will join in due course. Right, so on top of the mini league, we will also we're also going to set some zombie teams of our own this year. So last year we frequently referred back to our original starting lineups, our game week one teams, and sort of lamented as to how well they might have been doing had we left them in. And oh, I had that player and he would be doing so much better for me, I should have left it alone. So this year we're going to do that. We're going to set our teams and it'll be the exact team that we start game week one with. One we're going to completely leave alone, and the other one we're going to tinker to our heart's content, as we always do. And then we'll have a team that we can compare as we go through the season. So we'll be just keeping a very brief eye on those each week as well. And we also love a story, don't we, gents?
Oh, yes.
So we're going to have Story Corner. Now, we've almost exhausted our own personal library of stories. But we had a few contributors last season. But we thought, why not open it out to our wider listenership? And with the marvellous advent of WhatsApp, everyone can record and send it in. So if you've got a funny story that you'd like to share, you can change the names, you can be as anonymous as you want. And quite frankly, we like, you know, the muckier the better. And if you want some of our funny stories from last season, they're all there on our back catalogue on iTunes or Acast. But yeah, if you've got a funny story this season, please do record it and send it in to us at our email address, which is Steve.
Oh, Christ knows.
Which is Midge.
FantasyFootballNoise@gmail.com.
There you go.
Is that correct?
It is, yeah. Good job. Absolutely correct. Don't worry too much about sound quality. We will find a way to play it in. Yeah, and that would be brilliant. We'd love to get some new stories, wouldn't we?
Oh, yes.
And we'll also, of course, we'll also, everyone loves a bit of trivia, so we'll also end part one with a trivia question, and we'll come back to the answers towards the end of the show. Mitchell, I believe you've got something lined up for us.
I have got this trivia week for tonight. As well. I quite like doing trivia, yeah.
It's great, I really enjoy it. On a World Cup theme?
Yeah, related to Premier League players that played in the World Cup. Yeah, so a couple
just
of
just briefly,
questions
what there. What about that World Cup? Did we enjoy that World Cup, boys?
Wasn't it great to see so many Premier League players in the last four?
In the latter stages, yeah. Best World Cup ever?
I think, do you know what? I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't get caught up in the whole it's coming home because I'm not English. But I still got caught up in it a little bit. But I just really enjoyed the quality of the football. I thought Hazard was a treat. I loved watching Eden Hazard.
It was so good. Really, really enjoyed it. I really got into it. It tied in with a relatively quiet spell for me, work-wise. I watched a hell of a lot of games. It's wonderful. Really good.
But it's absolutely thrown up in the air what people are going to do for their teams in FPL for the first couple of weeks of the season. Lots of speculation.
Certainly
about
has.
Who's back, who's not, who's on holiday, whose wives are having babies, all that kind of stuff. So it's quite tricky.
And we will go into that in a bit more depth in the second half of the show, right? As we perhaps talk about our teams and where we are, because obviously they'll all probably change quite a bit between now and the start of the season, but where we are with building our teams currently and who we're avoiding and that sort of thing. So we'll go into that in part two. But for now, do you want to hit us with your trivia question?
Let me get my pen ready.
Okay.
Come on, Baco.
All right, I've got it.
And listeners, I'll pad for a moment while you pick up your pens and paper. And you get
I'm sure they all sit there scribing.
Yeah. So, the question is related to Premier League players in the World Cup. There were five nations that participated in the World Cup finals who didn't have any Premier League representation in their sides whatsoever. So, who were those five nations that had no Premier League representation?
Okay. I thought you were going to ask us which teams had the most Premier League players.
Oh, yeah, I can do
involved
that as well.
In the World Cup.
Yeah, which teams had the most Premier League players?
Have you got those facts to hand?
I haven't, but I will do after the break.
Okay, cool. And we can rely on your responses being 100% accurate as ever, yeah?
100% accurate.
Juan! I see what you did there with the Portugal theme. Excellent. Juan, 100%
accurate.
Just for everyone's benefit who has recently joined the pod here in Season 2, In season one, Mitch generally fucked up the trivia and hadn't actually got the answers to his questions.
If I can correct you, Baco, if I can correct you, Baco, you'll find sure. that I mostly fucked up most things, not just the trivia.
Please be accurate.
Very good.
Okay, great. So, excellent question, and we will see you in part two.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, welcome back to part two, Fantasy Football Noise. I guess we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of why we're all here, gents. Fantasy football. How have you both got on so far? Mitch, you seem to be brimming with confidence. Why don't we start with you?
I've been reading a lot. I've been asking questions of... some of our Twitter followers from specific sides. I've been looking at some of the pre-season results. I've been asking questions about players who this might be a breakthrough season for them. So I honestly, all seriousness, I feel so much better prepared than any season I've ever played FPL. The result will remain to be...
I love all this. This is so setting yourself up for a fall. Carry
really
on.
Is.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is. But let's start off with two things. So I won't go through my whole team straight off, but let me go for a couple of things for you to start off with. Easy, obvious things. So number one, Mo Salah, 50% ownership. I just feel you can't be without him. So first name on the team sheet
for me.
Has to
be, doesn't it?
My feeling is anyone who hasn't got him in their side, that's it. You might as well write your season off.
Correct. All agreed, I think.
Yeah, all agreed. What do we think about the price tag? Can't really argue with it, can you?
No,
it is what it is.
Great value for money, even at 13s.
Do we think he's going
on a points per million basis, still good value.
Do we think he's going to repeat anything like his form of last year?
I don't see any reason why not.
Perhaps we should reiterate for any new listeners that I am a Liverpool fan, so I obviously desperately hope that he does. Wayne, you are of no particular origin or following, and Baker, you are a diehard Swansea fan.
Oh, yes.
So last year we had a little soft spot for Swansea, but this year, obviously not, regrettably. So we're going to swap your Swansea loving for Cardiff hating? Am I right in thinking that?
Well, I've hated Cardiff since I was born, so I'm quite happy to do that.
It's not about to stop now, John.
Fucking hate Cardiff, but I certainly, embargo-wise, I won't be picking any Cardiff players. That's for sure.
As a point of principle.
Right.
As a point of principle. So that's off.
That's interesting.
Gone.
How long will that last?
19 team league for me. And it's nice. I'm a neutral, so I can enjoy it.
So what if they've got a young striker who's £5.5 million, who's bashing them in week after week? Everyone else has got him.
Don't care.
You don't even know of his name, no?
I haven't even looked at their team.
I really hope that happens.
So here you go. Serious point on Cardiff, right? First question is, how much does their championship form, bearing in mind they didn't win the league, how much does their championship form translate into the Premier League? I'm guessing not much.
Not at all, their shit.
And they've not strengthened their squad at all. Well, a little bit. They bought some fella called Reed from Bristol City, who was prolific, I understand, last season. I think 26 goals in all competitions. But again,
Bristol City.
That
brilliant.
Wasn't prolific in the Premier League, was he?
Precisely. So
Ollie McBurney's better than him.
Let
from,
it
from
go.
From PL2.
So are we saying avoid Cardiff players at all costs?
Well, I am, but I don't know if that's wise.
Well, for me, it would just be suck it and see. I'll be a pure bandwagon player as regard to any of those. But you never know, you might get another little Josh King situation from a couple of seasons ago.
Just cheap trying midfielder to be impartial.
Playing up front could be good, but wait.
Trying to be impartial. Their first three fixtures aren't too bad. Bournemouth, Newcastle, Huddersfield, and they've got the Newcastle one at home, but two away. So I'm still not going to pick them, even if they were playing, you know, the three sides who are bottom of the league. But for those who might pick a Cardiff player, they're actually not got a bad start.
I'd like to pick you up on a couple of points. I don't think Bournemouth are going to be one of the bottom three sides.
No. I'm saying even if they were playing the bottom three sides, I'm saying it's a relatively easy start. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. Relatively. I would still say that's a Bournemouth home win, first fixture of the season.
So actually, that's what that's taken us on to. We're talking about Cardiff. So we've gone down the path of where we might find some differentials. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you about a couple of other potential differentials that I've got in my side mm-hmm. that I like the look of. So number one, Diogo Jota from Wolves.
You've been banging his drum since last season, haven't you?
I have, yeah. He's young. He was prolific last season. I interacted with a few of the Wolves fans who've told me he is just incredible. First name on the team sheet.
What's he coming in at,
so, Mitch? 6.5 million.
Pricey.
Yeah, so he's in my side. He's in my side. And he's in a lot of other sides as well, actually.
Let's see. Who does that put him alongside in the sort of 6.5 bracket? Who is he? Who's he rubbing shoulders with?
Milivojevic.
Yeah, and Milivojevic is on pens. Richarlison.
Jota takes
pens. Seven of Millie's goals were pens last season.
Yeah, exactly. Who else? Sessegnon from Fulham, another decent player. Pedro. Yeah. Not bad, but it's not a bad price.
Decore, Richarlison, Townsend. Yeah. All better.
Well, you don't know yet.
You don't? Do you know?
All better.
No. Richarlison, we'll not better.
We'll see.
Yeah, Richarlison's going to be super for... I'm not going to pick him, but he's going to be super for Everton, I think. I think he's a good buy.
Did you see the stats on him, though? His points under Silva, whilst at Watford last season, was something like 102 points he scored in the first 10 or 15 game weeks. And then when Silva left, he scored a handful for the whole remainder of the season.
Yeah,
so
you need to check up on that. I think that's bullshit.
I can see why people have picked him.
No, it's, I think bullshit. there's been some judicious use of numbers. I'm not sure that's entirely accurate.
Well, you know me. All the best stats are approximate, right?
Yeah. And are made up on the spot. Yeah, but having said that, you look at Everton's fixtures.
Mm.
Wolves away, Saints at home, Bournemouth away, Huddersfield and West Ham at home.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
They are my top-ranked fixture team.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I like the sound of that. Whilst we've mentioned Everton, where do we stand on their other assets? Someone like Walcott, for example, who was a bit hit and miss, wasn't he, last year?
Yeah. So the easy bit Balassi. Is to identify that. Yeah, easy bit. Everton have got reasonably good fixtures, new manager, so conceptually they should do well. The hard bit is picking a couple of decent fucking players.
Yeah,
because you don't know, do you?
You don't. But you would think that Sigurdsson, Walcott, Richarlison, Balassi, pretty much...
Gylfi can't be as bad as he was last season. No. He's a super player.
Yeah. You'd think they're all in, wouldn't you?
Is Aguirre Gay? What's he called?
Idrissa Gay.
Yeah.
That's him.
He's deep lying role, isn't he? Wouldn't go there points. Yeah.
I'm going to have a look at some Everton articles on Twitter.
I've entirely steered clear of Everton.
Have you?
Yeah.
See, I think Baker's right. I think they are a good pond to fish in, shall we say, but you just got to...
At the right price.
Yeah, do a bit of homework. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what they are, isn't it? They are, where can I get a cheap player from? They're not going to be your premium assets. They're going to be filling in the gaps.
So
good fixtures.
Shall I move on to my next potential differential?
Yes, please.
I like the look of. I've gone for Ricardo Pereira from Leicester.
Mm.
Nice.
Now, it's a completely mixed bag. When I've put my team out there for people to give me their views, some have said, no way, swap him out for someone else. Leicester fans naturally have said, yeah, brilliant, he's going to be amazing. But look,
what
at
price?
He is £5 million.
Ooh.
So, 5-year deal, £25 million quid, signed from Porto, played, I think, 26 games last season, 2 goals, 4 assists, plays down the right-hand side, right back, but gets forward, also plays right midfield and right wing as well.
And in the game, is he a defender or mid?
He's a defender.
Okay.
Defender in the game.
That makes him more appealing.
Yeah, he played in the Champions League last season as well. So I think he's going to be... You're not going to buy someone like him and put him on the bench. So I think he's going to start. He has played in some of their pre-season games, and I think he could be a classic out-of-position player. So, yeah, I pondered it for ages and then thought, no, I'm going to go for it. Because I think you can only do well in this game if you've got some kind of differential. Otherwise, we're all just going to end up with the same team. So,
yep, the template team last season was ended up being a pain in the arse, didn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone was more or less the same side, or 7 or 8 players at least, and everyone starting 11.
Yeah,
I am liking the new Mitch.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah, me too. Loving the new Mitch. Well, do you reckon the new Mitch will watch any football this season, though, Steve?
I should probably try, shouldn't I? I should try.
Just match of the day. That's all you need to watch.
I think it would help. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I will.
Exactly.
I will.
An hour even of watching each week. Let's just, while you're mentioning him, Leicester have got a not bad start either, apart from they're away at Man United first fixture, then they've got home to Wolves, away at Saints, then they've got a tough one at home to Liverpool, but then they've got Bournemouth and Huddersfield, Newcastle follow that. So,
yeah,
with a bit of rotation, he could dovetail in quite well, actually.
Correct, and that's exactly how I've picked my side. So I have now not got a single player who is just... I've got one bench fodder player, and that's Spironi, my reserve keeper. And I'm still thinking about that I quite like the concept of set and forget keepers. So, for example, pick Fabianski and Adrian so that you've always got a keeper that plays.
Have you looked at Ben Crellin's FPL calendar? It's got a tab on it that's got the home and away schedule. So you can pick combinations of keepers and combinations of fourth and fifth defenders.
No, I haven't yet.
Wow, no, I haven't. Should. No, I've got his fixture list, that's it.
Yeah, so it's called FPL Schedule HA, and if you go into that, you can see the teams that are beautifully synced in terms of their home and away fixtures. So if you pick two keepers, if you're looking for two reasonable price keepers,
yep,
rather than going down the De Gea route, then that's the one to go. And then you've always got a keeper, pretty much always got a keeper that's going to play at home every week.
Yep. Nice.
So you save yourself £1.5 million or even £2 million by having a 4 and a 4.5. Keeper,
million and a half tops. Yeah, I would say million and a half tops is what you're going to save yourself.
See, I've currently got De Gea in my lineup, but because he's just bankable, isn't he? Almost, you know. And Man United, thankfully, are in a spell at the minute where they're not very attractive to watch. But what they do is keep a lot of clean sheets.
What I've done, so I had him in my side. I've now gone Edison because Edison is, I think, £500,000 cheaper. Didn't score differently from him, so
two clean sheets fewer.
Man City start is a lot easier than United, yeah, told sir.
And also, when you look at, if you're just going on the total score from last season, remember Edison had quite a few games out after Sadio Mane kicked him in the face in one of the early games. So actually, had he played,
he probably
would have scored pretty much the same as De Gea.
Really valid point. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. So my final differential, well, maybe not a differential because I think quite a few people have got him. But it's
before you go on, if you have Edison, just looking at the home away, I would say Begovic is a good partner for him because they play home and away alternate with Man City pretty much until game week 12.
Nice.
You know, I'd still play Edison over Begovic, even if he was away, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but if they start leaking goals in the first couple of games and the City defence looks weak, you don't want to have to start making keeper substitutions,
no, you're right.
Do you?
No, good point.
You are right, but after an away game to Arsenal on the first day, City have got Huddersfield, Wolves, Newcastle, Fulham, Cardiff, Brighton. Yeah.
It is probably pretty special, isn't it?
If I've got Edison in the sticks, I'll probably leave him in, to be honest with you.
So here's a dilemma for you. So looking at their fixtures, my opinion, you've got to have triple Man City in your side, which I've got.
Absolutely.
But
of course you have.
It's who is the triple? Who are you going to put in your side? In the midfield, there's so many players that could be playing and coming back from the World Cup.
I love the Germany left Sané out and were shit narrative. I'm going Sané. Yeah.
A lot of people are.
See, I've got Mahrez in my side so far. I'm very excited about him at 9 million. But there is a little yellow injury warning.
Yeah, he had a knock
him,
in one of the pre-seasons, I think.
Yeah, so I don't know how accurate or how severe that will be, but
yeah, I've got a little yellow warning next to Riyad Mahrez as well, and in my notes it says petulant little shitbag.
But they spent 60 million quid on him, so they're probably going to use him a fair bit.
Yeah.
Also, didn't go deep into the World Cup. Did not feature in the World Cup at all.
A little clue for our trivia there.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's a feather in his cap, I would think.
So, yeah, so I've got, just while we're on that, then I've got three Man City. So Edison in goal. I've got Aguero up top, and I've got Fernandinho. Now, I know he's a defensive midfielder, but he scored fairly well last season.
He's
and
handy
he's,
at the price, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly, that's it. Handy at
Pops
the price.
Pops up with the odd goal, right?
Yeah, the odd goal. But I couldn't really find anyone that I think would be as reliable a scorer as him for the price.
Are we gonna continue our seemingly team policy of not picking fucking Sterling?
Absolutely. Not going to go near him.
Wasn't he woeful in the World Cup?
Oh, my God. I had my head in my hands so many times.
So many goals. If he scores every big chance he gets this season, he'll score 300 points like Mo Salah as well. He misses so many.
He got 229 points last season and he missed several hat-tricks that I watched.
I looked at the ownership stats. It wasn't recently, so maybe last week. And
let me tell you.
I sorted last year's performance by scores, and he's obviously top three players.
Hmm.
And out of the top 15... scorers from last season, he is the lowest percentage ownership.
Yeah, don't doubt it for a minute. He's owned currently by 2.7%.
Exactly.
That was low, isn't it? Do you know, for me, it's totally...
Is he a differential? Hang on.
For an £11 million player, though.
£11 million? Pounds?
£11 million. Wow. That's a lumpy price tag. But, I mean, he scored 18 goals, so, you know.
And what was it, 229 points?
229, yeah.
Yeah. For me, this is a classic point of... Had I not seen him perform in the World Cup in the way that he did, this is classic heart over head. I just don't want him in my side.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just emotionally can't bear him in my side.
I think he'd be a very, very frustrating player to own, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Be a very frustrating player to own. You'd just be fucking screaming at your telly. I don't want that. What were you going to say about Sané? I clipped you, mate, sorry.
Yeah, so Sané at 9.5 is much better value than Sterling at 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Very good, Mitch.
So I've got one final differential for you I nearly got onto, is Tom Cairney at Fulham. Now, I was reading something by a former Spurs director of team performance or something like that, and it was after they bought this chap, I think his name is it Jean-Michel Seri, that he believes that the position that Seri will play in at Fulham will effectively take over some of the responsibilities of Tom Cairney, allowing Cairney to push much further forward into a more attacking position. So actually he could get a lot more action in the last third of the field. So that's why I've put him in my side. So I'd be happy, I've got across my midfield, I'd be happy for all five of them to play. So Fernandinho, Salah, Jota, Mkhitaryan and Cairney.
Interesting. Okay.
Cool. Nice one.
Yeah. What about, while we're mentioning Fulham, what about your man Mitrovic? He is a handy player and he's currently in my lineup.
He is a handy third striker, I think. I think he'll be many people's favourite third striker.
Yeah. Going to start every game, right?
What price, Jay?
6.5.
Yeah, nice. I think he'll start every game and I think he'll do some damage.
I would think so.
Why did Newcastle sell him?
I don't know. But he scored quite a lot of goals for is it Serbia in World Cup qualifying?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, who knows what the deal with Newcastle was, but I think he could be good for Fulham. And from what I hear, can't profess to know anything about the Championship, but from what I hear, Fulham played good attacking football last season, so hopefully they'll keep that going and he'll be there. They start at home to Palace, away at Spurs, then home to Burnley, away at Brighton.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad.
Then away at Man City.
We'll just focus on the first five.
Gloss over that. Bench him for that one.
So here you go. I've got my third striker. So my first two. I've got Aguero and Aubameyang up top, which I think could be a dreamy partnership.
That's where the money's gone, isn't it?
But I've gone for Florin Andone from
Who?
Brighton.
Who?
So here they've bought him from Deportivo La Coruña.
Five-year
deal. I feel like he... someone might need to correct me on this. This is only... I've only put him in today, but I think he's going to be a starter. So someone coming with pedigree from La Liga.
I would do your research on pre-season selection.
I need to
selection.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Run his name past me again.
Florin Andone.
Okay, Brighton, 5 million. Got him.
Okay. Could be Huddersfield. He's got a stripy shirt. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They're interchangeable, aren't they?
Yeah.
It is Brighton. What's Brighton start like? Away at Watford, then home to United, then away at Liverpool, home to Fulham.
Yeah. So I might as well.
You're not going to start in the way with those other two.
I've almost completed my team for you. So let me tell you who I've then got at the back. So I've already talked about Pereira. Then got Andrew Robertson, Azpilicueta, Tompkins from Palace, and then Cedric Suarez.
Do you not want to go Alexander Arnold for a million less?
No,
Robertson.
I don't.
Yeah, yourself a million quid, mate.
I've gone Robertson as well.
Have you?
No, yeah. I like Robertson. I thought he was the games I watched him play at the end of last season. I thought he was absolutely splendid. Watching him marauding down the left. I like him a lot.
Couldn't agree more. For me, it was between him and Van Dijk, and just sort of some of the balls that Robertson puts in to the box is just. Yeah, just on the money so often. I think you've got a good chance of some double-digit hauls with him, myself.
Very good.
And Liverpool got a pretty, pretty favourable start, you'd have to say. Home to West Ham, away at Palace, home to Brighton, away at Leicester, before they go to Spurs and then Southampton. So, yeah. I think a Liverpool defender, for me, regardless of my bias, a Liverpool defender is probably a must, in my view.
I'll tell you what, they are going to let fuck all in with that giant in goal, are they?
Yeah, what about that? Finally got a... Well, maybe we're going to be embarrassed and eat our words, but that had to happen, didn't it?
Yeah,
it had to happen. And I couldn't give a shit that we paid over the odds for him, frankly.
No, he's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. Hope so.
Regardless of who you support, I think it's great when players like that come to the Premier League, because he just looks like... I've seen a couple of videos of him in training. He just looks fucking brilliant, and it's good to have fucking brilliant players
fucking
in games
brilliant
that you're watching.
Players. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I hope we get a better number two than Mignolet as well, and they can...
There was rumour I read the other day that Mignolet might go to Barcelona.
as kit man.
What, to play for Espanyol?
Very good. No, as the number two, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Do you want me to take you through my strategy, Jay?
Go on.
Yeah, so we haven't really talked about strategy in terms of formation, Mitch.
Yeah.
Do you have a set formation that you think you're going to, or is it going to change every week because you're happy with your cheaper players?
I am going to tend towards having maximum players across the midfield. So yeah. I think if you remember our analysis from the end of last season, we said that on a per player average, the most of the points came from the midfield.
They did.
So
you
get a 3-5-2.
3-5-2, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So my starting lineup will be Edison in goal, Pereira, Robertson and Azpi at the back, Fernandinho, Salah, Jota, Mkhitaryan and Kearney. And then Aguero and an Aubameyang up top.
And everyone in the mini league is banking on you to beat Stairsy. So the best of luck with that, mate.
And you've now told him your entire and exact side. So
he's now going to pick the same side as you.
Yeah, that's it.
If he does, that would be cynical, and we should make him pay 500 quid just for being an arse piece.
I'm pretty sure there's not a chance that he will replicate your side.
No, not a, actually, not any danger of that whatsoever.
I actually had the pleasure of meeting Stairsy for the very first time.
Well, how was lovely.
He? A couple of years ago. He was absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Did he look as much like Sean Connery as I thought?
He did a bit. Yeah, I have to say he did a bit, yeah. He was thoroughly lovely and enjoyed the show and looking forward to season two, as we are. So I think it's great that he's laid that gauntlet down to you. I think that's brilliant. So hats off. He's also contributed a regular feature of the show, which we rather like and we're going to do. We're going to end each show with Bankers and Wankers. So we will basically each identify a player who we think is nailed on for big points for the coming game week, and maybe also that'll be the banker, obviously, and the wanker being someone with sort of 10% or more ownership who we think's likely to fail. So bankers and wankers, which we'll round up each show with. So let us know what you think about that.
Lovely stuff. Okay, formation wise, so firstly I approach my squad as what formation am I going to go for most weeks. This year I'm going to start out thinking 3-4-3. So I'm going to go for a three-striker strategy. So last year I did well. My top points haul, so 2-1-1-4 was my points haul last year, but I'm not happy with it, so I need to make changes. So I'm going to go 3-4-3. So I'm sticking with that. And
sorry to interject, were you on a 3-5-2 last season most of the time?
No, it was actually 4-4-2 mostly last year.
4-4-2, so you're switching to 3-4-3 this year. Okay.
3-4-3.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Come on then.
So I need three productive strikers. So I'm going Kane, Firmino and Zaha.
Oosh. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Sounds tasty, doesn't it?
Zaha's got huge ownership, over 30%.
Really?
Great player, great value at 7 million. Great for a third striker. I think he's an uptick on Mitrovic, for example. I'm happy with Zaha. 30%, I don't care.
Cool. Fair enough.
Yeah, they've got good fixtures. Apart from their home game to Liverpool in their second game, their fixtures look pretty good for the first five.
Well, they do, yeah. I'll just give you Crystal Palace's fixtures. They start off away to Fulham and then home to Liverpool. But after that, it's away to Watford, home to Southampton, away at Huddersfield, home to Newcastle, away at Bournemouth, home to Wolves. So that is quite a tasty run after, well, from game week three onwards, right?
Yeah.
So my next, so after banking my formation and picking my three strikers, I'm now looking at fixtures. So my intention is to be in a position to not have to make transfers every week. I'm just going to rotate a couple.
For new listeners, Baker sometimes intertwines the word transfer for substitute. So
I was fucking determined not to do that.
But you did. Never mind. So you're trying to avoid lots of unnecessary
transfers.
Transfers, got you, yeah.
So that I can save up double transfer weeks, and then if I want to drop a four-pointer, I can then make a fundamental change to my team if I need to and I've got my strategy wrong. But I hope not, because I've looked at the fixtures and my top four rank sides in terms of the fixtures are Everton, Liverpool, Burnley and Palace. There's a little asterisk against Burnley because of their Europa League involvement. So let's hope Aberdeen beat them as we record this on Thursday night.
I really hope they don't have any European interest.
With that in mind, I want two or three players in my squad from those four sides. So from a Palace perspective, I've gone for differential at the back, Wan-Bissaka, who we mentioned on the pod last season a couple of times.
We did. He's in my side.
Yeah, and he is a likely starter. He started most of their preseason games.
Correct.
Ahead of Ward. So Zaha as well. So there's my two Palace. Yep. My two Burnley. I've gone for Goodmanson in midfield.
And snap, so have I.
Pick one of Ward or Lantern at the back. Could be either. I've gone for three Liverpool. So in addition to Firmino, I've obviously got Salah and I've got Alexander-Arnold.
Okay.
And two Everton. So I haven't picked my two Everton yet, but I'm pretty sure that Keane at the back is going to be in there, and I need an Everton midfielder who is no more than 5 million, please.
Everton have just signed a new, I believe it's a left back. I
can't remember his name.
Let me bring it up. Is it Senior?
From Barcelona.
I don't have to say it. Senior? No, Digne. Yeah. So Lucas Digne, or Digny, as it's literally written. But he's at 5 million, and apparently he's going to shake things up and give Baines a run for his money, I read. So don't know. What about Coleman? Coleman back to full fitness,
because
he was a mainstay, wasn't he, in years gone by?
Was, but obviously we're talking 3 seasons ago now.
We are, yeah. The last 2 have been severely blighted, but I haven't looked at any of their pre-season. Is he starting? Is he doing well? Any ideas?
No idea.
He's one to look at for sure. Find out.
So in addition to all those, I've also got Sane, which I mentioned before, and then my keeper strategy is the rotation between Begovic and Pickford.
Okay, and how do they dovetail?
They dovetail nicely, and you know, as mentioned, Everton's fixtures are favourable, and Bournemouth aren't bad.
Yeah.
So they start off with Cardiff at home, so
yeah,
I'm going to start with Begovic.
Cool. See, I quite like that. That is a really interesting strategy of a way to save yourself at least a million, if not 1.5.
Yeah.
Potentially 2.
So I'm starting with Salah, Sane, Kane and Firmino because I've saved money elsewhere.
Yeah, not to be said for it. I have found what I've currently got. So are you done? Are you happy for me to move on to mine?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
So when I said to you earlier on, I've got De Gea, and I forgot that I actually didn't have my team up. I actually forgot that I had switched to Edison. So I've got currently Fabianski and Edison at the back. And as I say, I haven't looked at any, you know, really sort of dovetailing of fixtures or anything like that. So this is going to change. But I currently got Otamendi.
Fabianski and Edison are on the same schedule for the first 6 weeks. So they play home at the same time and they play away at the same time. So not a good combination.
No, not a good combo at all. I'm really tempted by your suggestion, Bakes. I might do that. And I quite like Begovic, so yeah, may do that. But anyway, I've currently got, as we mentioned, I've got Robertson. I've got Wan Bissaka as my differential. And I've got Otamendi because I just like his goal threat and they keep a lot of clean sheets. So
you love Nicolas Otamendi, don't you?
I absolutely hate him as a player, but he got better. He got better. As last season went on, he got more reliable, didn't he?
He did.
But he's also a real magnet for the bonus points. So if they do keep clean sheets, he's probably in for a good haul. And I've also gone Stephen Ward of Burnley, because I agree with you. Their start is pretty favourable. So one of them, and I just, plumped for him. And I haven't really locked in my fifth defender at all yet.
Because I'm playing 3 at the back, I'm probably never going to use my fifth defender.
Yeah. You need him to be someone who at least plays. Because if you are playing...
Ideally. But it's a 4 million someone who's going to play. So Wan-Bissaka fits that bill.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And across the midfield, I've currently got Salah, Mahrez, Goodmanson, Milivojevic and Moy as my final one.
And what formation are you going to play?
I think probably 3-5-2 as well.
So you're going to pick all those 5 midfielders?
I reckon I am. Yeah. You've both made good cases. I'm still not decided. Like I say, I'm grossly underprepared. I'm not decided. I've just really gone through and only really familiarised myself with all the new player values and some of the reclassifications, like Arnautovic, for example, being a striker, Zaha being a striker this year, all that sort of stuff. I've only really started looking at that the last couple of days. So yeah, it will all change. But I've currently got a front 3 of Arnautovic, Aubameyang and Mitrovic.
That doesn't shout goals to me, mate.
You're not happy with that?
No.
Okay.
That says, it's an afterthought, that front 3.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't like that.
I think chucking some money at it from the keeper to the front, I think that's going to happen.
Lovely.
Yeah, so that's basically it for my side. What do you guys think in terms of World Cup players, because, I mean, particularly teams like Spurs, which we'll come on to in a minute with the trivia and stuff, but, you know, the majority of their starting 11 were in the bloody semi-final with Belgium or England. So are we just completely steering clear of those?
My rule of thumb is I'm not starting with any of the semi-finalists.
Yeah.
Apart from Kane, I just want to go counterintuitive this season that he's actually going to fucking score in August.
You think so?
Yeah.
And also, you've got a new manager at Chelsea, so you've got no idea, really, how they're going to line up. So where, you know, I think you're pretty safe with Azpi, Mitch, but there aren't that many players who are nailed on definitely starting. They've got quite an embarrassment of riches, haven't they? So
Stairsy seems to think that David Luiz is back to a guaranteed slot in Sarri's side.
Oh, really?
Mm.
What about someone like Willian, someone like Pedro, who Willian's been talked about going away, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been talked
about. Pedro, I think, is a good bet for a starter.
You reckon?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could all change in this next week, so I think there's going to be a flurry of transfers, but...
Yeah. Silly transfers as well.
Silly. Stupid.
Silly season.
Overpriced. Just stupid. Silly transfers.
All right, then. So, yeah, speaking of World Cup, do you want to... get these trivia answers.
Yeah, let's do it. So let's just recap. So there were two parts to it. So there are five nations that participated in the World Cup that didn't have a single Premier League player in their side. So that's part one. Part two is who were the top... there's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Who were the top eight by Premier League representation? It's only eight because that in fourth place there are... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that had the same number of players. So,
okay,
I will keep count as we go between you, head to head.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the five nations? Who should we start with? Let's go alphabetical by surname. So let's go Baker.
Iran.
Correct. John?
I had that one down. Saudi Arabia?
Correct.
Peru?
Incorrect, Baker.
Cock end.
Carrillo was their
fuck
representation.
Off. Panama.
Oh, Panama.
Panama, correct.
Yes.
John?
I'm struggling, mate. Morocco.
No, not Morocco.
No, okay.
Oh, we're scraping the barrel now. Costa Rica?
Well, not Costa Rica.
Not Costa Rica. Tunisia?
Not Tunisia. Shall I just tell you and we'll move on?
Yeah, tell us. There aren't any more.
Yes, please.
There are. Russia. No Russians in the Premier League. And also Uruguay.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah.
There you go. So, who are the top sides for Premier League players?
Belgium,
second place. Yes. Baker.
England.
Correct. First place. Third place. John.
Portugal?
No. Sorry. Only four for Portugal.
France,
they're in fourth place with five, yes.
Denmark?
Yes, five in fourth place. Baco?
Spain?
No, I believe Spain were only four. John?
How about Brazil?
Yes, third place, six. Baco?
Poland?
No.
I'm going to give you a curveball. What about Egypt?
Egypt, correct. Five.
Ooh.
Well done, Jay.
Boof. I can only think of Hegazi and Salah, but...
El Neni.
El Mohammadi.
You just made that up. That's just a series of noises you've made there.
That's an actual Baco? Player.
Serbia.
Correct. Five. One more, John.
I was just going to say Serbia. Give us the last one, Mitch. Come on.
Senegal. Five players.
Lovely. Well, should we round off with our bankers and wankers, lads?
Yeah, let's do it.
New feature. So let's go around the room and not that we're in a room, but the virtual room. And who's your banker? Yeah, banker for big points in week one.
So I'll start on my banker. I'm going based on fixtures or the first fixture of the season.
Yes.
I'm going, and based on pre-season form, as far as I can see, so I'm going for Josh King from Bournemouth.
Whew, that's ballsy.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, we're going to try and make these the, you know, slightly left field. There's no point in just saying Salah every week, is there?
Oh, for West Ham at home, I was going to go Salah for my
way. You were going to be really risky. I suppose that this feature is not really supposed to be where to put the captain's armband, necessarily. It's more like who's a... I think it's who's a differential.
Go on then, what have you got?
Maybe it isn't.
Who's your banker, Jay?
You're coming to me as if I'm in any way prepared for this.
At least a name.
I'm going to go Mahrez. If he plays, I'm going to go Mahrez. Fuck it.
Very ballsy.
What about your wankers then, guys? Who is hotly tipped, but you don't agree?
I'll start. 26.4% ownership. First game away at Liverpool, reclassified. Arnautovic is my wanker of the week.
Nice. My wanker of the week is they are going to get off to a terrible start. Man United, Lukaku.
Who are they playing first week?
Leicester at home.
Interesting. What makes you pick Lukaku for that when he generally does all right against the mid-table sides?
I think he's shit.
Simple as that, John. Simple as that, mate.
I'll say it, mate.
And I'm going to simply say Sterling.
Nice.
May not even play, of course, which...
Away at the Emirates.
Exactly. Yeah. So, we will see. Right, gents. Well, it's been a pleasure. Lovely to be back. Hope you've all enjoyed the show. If you would like to get in touch or indeed follow us and the drivel that Mitch comes out with, sometimes we share amusing pictures and videos and we retweet tips and things to bring your way. We are on Twitter @fantasy_noise. And once again, if you do have any funny stories, we'd love to hear them. And you can send us those in an audio clip, please. MP3 would be wonderful, or just however you can get it to us. And the email for that is fantasyfootballnoise@gmail.com. Please don't forget there's a Friday night deadline to get your teams all finalised. And we will see you Tuesday or Wednesday the following week. So until then, speak to you next week, chaps.
Cheers.
Adieu. Bye for now.
Cue the music.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your yard aren't exactly comfortable, and while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from Sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's ALLBIRDS.com.